Shalom Aleichem, everybody. I wanted to share with you an insight into the tshuva process, into mitzvahs, averus, and exactly, if you will, the anatomy of tshuva, how we're supposed to go ahead and approach our averus on this particular time of year, obviously as we get ready for Rosh Hashanah, which is in a mere 48 or so hours. When it comes to mitzvahs and averus, you have two separate and distinct models for mitzvahs and averus. You have one model, which I'll describe as melech mitzvah es ha'am. It's a decree of a king. And when it comes to this decree, we might not fully understand it, we might not fully understand its impact on us, perhaps it doesn't even have an impact on us, but by following the decree, by following the mitzvah, we are, if you will, aligning ourselves, pledging our allegiance to God, to Hashem, or to whoever the commander is. And this applies also in secular governments. For example, you have a pledge of allegiance. There might be a rule in a state that you have to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school every single day. The purpose there is not because it makes me better, but it links me and shows my allegiance to the state, to the ruler. Respect for the flag might be such another law. In Germany, the Hail Hitler was a law that is expressing the allegiance that you have to the leader. And we have that as well, the idea of a chok. Perhaps according to some of Farshim, is that there's a mitzvah that we have, which we don't really understand the reason, may not even have a reason according to some, yet we do it as a pledge of allegiance, aligning ourselves with the commander, with Hashem. It's another type of law that governments have, and certainly we have, and that is the law is there for our betterment. It helps us, it improves us, it's for our own good. For example, in secular societies, drug laws or the laws to wear seatbelts are there for our own benefit, for our own good, and therefore the legislator will go ahead and legislate in that fashion. Again, in Yahadus as well, most of the mitzvos, we assume, perhaps even all the mitzvos, are there by fulfilling mitzvos. They are improving us, they are bettering us, they are good for us, and on the contrary, when it comes to averos, the exact opposite. They have a deleterious effect. They are to our detriment. They affect us in a negative way. There's a negative impact upon us. Just to give you a certain mashal, perhaps you have, let's say, a nation where they have a national bird. The turkey is the national bird. So they might have a rule. The king might go ahead and announce a rule, promulgate a rule in that nation that you're not allowed to eat the national bird. Why? Because this is our national bird, the turkey, and therefore we want to keep it in a certain stature. A person cannot eat or kill the national bird. The purpose, the reason not to go ahead and eat the turkey is because, again, that is a disrespect for the Gzeres HaMelech. This is analogous to the Pledge of Allegiance. You might have another nation, the same nation, that also has the same exact law in the books. You're not allowed to eat turkey. Why? Because it's an epidemic in the country. And the turkey is carrying some kind of strain of a germ, and therefore it goes ahead and has a deleterious impact. Someone who eats turkey is going to be harming himself. And the government might have a law. We don't want this disease permeating our society, and therefore no consumption of turkey. The Derech Moshel, when it comes to mitzvahs, we assume that our mitzvahs, our averus, the Torah Hashem, is exactly the same. On the one hand, when we go ahead and fulfill mitzvahs and we avoid averos, it's because Gzeres HaMelech, Hashem commanded, and that's it. We want to go ahead and follow, pledge allegiance to Ribono Shel Olam, and as such, the commands have to be fulfilled, the averos have to be avoided, Gzeres HaMelech. On the other hand, we also believe that the mitzvos and the averos are good for us. Mitzvos are good for us, averos are bad for us. And therefore it's for our own benefit. It will have a bad impact upon us if we permeate our lives with averos. And a positive impact will be uplifted people, spiritual people, people that are connected in a wholly different way by fulfilling mitzvos. And therefore there's an impact in mitzvos. And thus we don't just fulfill mitzvos because Gzeres HaMelech, although that would be sufficient, but we also go ahead and fulfill mitzvahs because we understand they have a profound and beneficial impact upon us. These two poles are very much have nafkamina lahalacha, nafkamina in hashkafa, I should say. When it comes, we have two terminologies that we often describe. We say a person should have yiras shamayim, and a person should also be a yorei chet. What's the difference between yiras shamayim and yiras chet? The difference is that these two ideas. Yiras shamayim is we should fear Hashem, meaning we do mitzvahs because this is the Gzeres HaMelech, this is Hashem's command. And Yiras Shamayim, a fear of heaven, means we're going to fulfill mitzvahs because we don't want to disappoint the Melech, the Ribono Shel Olam. On the other hand, there's also Yiras Chet. Understand that when a person sins, when a person does wrong, it's not just that he's rebelling against Hashem, but there's an impact on his neshama. He's a different person for it. he's a lower person for it, and it has an impact upon him. So therefore, don't just be fearful of the consequences of breaching the Tzeres HaMelech, but be fearful of the chait, because the chait itself has an impact, a bad impact, and the person has to be wary of that as well. Why is it, point number two, naftamina number two, why is it, very perplexing din, gadol hametzuva va'osa minisha eino metzuva va'osa? Why is it, for example, women are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, it's a mitzvah seish hazman grama? If a woman puts herself into that mitzvah, says, I'm going to do the mitzvah of sukkah, she gets schar, but not the same level of schar as a man would. Counterintuitive, she's doing it voluntarily, he's doing it because he has to. Why is he getting greater schar than is she? Perhaps the answer is the same idea, is that when a person does a mitzvah, ein mitzvah viosa, so there's no kiyum of the gzeras hamelech. There is a kiyum, sitting in a sukkah has a positive impact on a person, connects a person, brings a person tachas kanfei hashchina. That positive impact is equal whether you're commanded or not. But the gzeras hamelech, that only applies if you have a tzivoy, if you're mitzvah viosa. So the man has both poles. He has the gzeras hamelech, pledging allegiance, fulfilling the command of Hashem, and the beneficial impact of the mitzvah, whereas the woman only has the factor of the beneficial impact without the gzeres hamelech. Why do we have to go ahead and do tshuva, bring a karbon for an aveira that is done b'shogeg? After all, I didn't intend to do anything wrong. It was an accident. I had no intention of violating this iser. Perhaps I thought the meat I was eating was kosher. It turns out to be treif. I had no intention of doing anything wrong. So why do I have to do tshuva? The answer is very obvious. Is because, you're right, it's not an act of rebellion. I thought I was doing something that was 100% mutter. I had no intention whatsoever of breaching my connection to Hashem, breaching that allegiance that I have to Hashem. There was no rebellion at all. However, I still have to do tshuva. Why? Because bottom line is I ate treif. And by eating treif, by doing the Aveira, even b'shogeg, there is that impact on the neshama. And therefore, that impact on the neshama has to be cured, needs that sense of kapara. And therefore, you still have to do tshuva. Because even though perhaps there was no merida, rebellion, but there still is the deleterious impact of the chet on the persona, on the neshama, and that itself requires tshuva. Imagine, a doctor tells you in that state, which has that turkey as the national bird, which also carries diseases, and a person goes ahead and sits down, he thinks he's eating chicken. The chicken suda, which is 100% fine, turns out someone switched the plate, it was turkey, not chicken. So the king says, you breached my gzeri, he says, totally unintentional, the king's going to give him a pass. You're right, you had no intention of eating turkey, you were intending to eat eat chicken. However, when he goes to the doctor because he's got this disease, he can say, I ate it unintentionally all he wants. However, he ate the turkey, and it has an impact. And thus, the doctor's going to have to give him the serum to go ahead and cure his illness. And that's exactly what tshuva is that when it comes, tshuva is a tremendous miracle. It's a tremendous miracle. Because we understand very clearly that chatoim have an impact on a person. They penetrate his neshama, they create a barrier between him and Hashem, and whether it's bemazed or b'shogeg, it has an impact. If it's bemazed, it's also rebellion. If it's b'shogeg, perhaps it doesn't have that sense of rebellion, but it has an impact. Person's sick, and tshuva now gives the antidote. Tshuva is the serum, is the ability that impact that the chet has. If a person does a proper sense of tshuva, a real sense of profound tshuva, introspection, wants to change, all of a sudden, the negative impact of the chet really has the ability to be reversed. It's tremendous power. When it comes to tshuva, it has two elements. There's a kabbalah al ha'asid, a commitment not to let it happen again, and a charata al ha'avar, the commitment not to let it happen again. That's really speaking to the gzeres hamelech piece. I rebelled against you, Hashem. I walked away. I turned my back on you from you, Hashem. I promise, I'm not going to let it happen again. In the future, I'm going to be different. I'm going to strive to come close to you. Yes, Hashem might accept our forgiveness, but as Hashem will accept our forgiveness, we're no longer in that posture of rebellion. But what about the impact that the chet had on my soul, on my neshama, breached that relationship? How do I fix that? How do I fix the disease that is ailing me? So the answer there, of course, is That's the power of charata al ha'avar. By going ahead and regretting and so forth, the miracle of tshuva is that it also can cure me. It can reverse the past and cure that which has ailed me, the impact of the chet. It's a very, very powerful message, very powerful idea. The power of tshuva, not only curing the relationship, the merida, the rebellion, but also going to the very core of the impact that the chet had, and also fixing that. As we go ahead and get ready for Rosh Hashanah, just want to wish everyone, every single one of you, I won't be able to do it necessarily individually, although I might try, but as a collective, really that we should all be zoche to have a Shana Tova Mesuka, a very, very sweet year. And when I say sweet year, Hashem should give us a sweet year. But at the same time, we should also do everything we can to make our year sweet, to always be positive, to always look at the good, to find the good. Because indeed, Hashem, as Hashem does, bestow on us so much sweetness. And then it's our job to go ahead and see the sweetness, appreciate the sweetness, and Amir Hashem, we will all have a tremendous year of Hatzlacha, in our learning, in our Shemir HaMitzvahs, in our school studies, and everything, and we should be Zocher to a true Tshuva Shalem.